We compiled all of the studies that have been done on histidine in a meta-analysis that was published a couple of years ago. And we saw in that meta-analysis that histidine supplementation increases trimer intake, and it also increases milk protein and just milk yield and also ECM, energy-corrected milk yield. And then we actually see a reduction in milk fat concentration, but then the yield usually remains the same.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai. AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Adasail, provider of Smartamine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Birdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit Barnes-NA.com/animal nutrition. Vitagro, the gut health experts, rumen protected, right where it matters. Sponsored by S. Milko Inc., specialists in calf and baby farm animal nutrition, delivering precision-formulated milk replacers. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together.
Welcome to the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Todd Calloway, and we're dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in dairy nutrition. So get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead of the curve with today's episode. Today, we are joined by Dr. Susanna Reisanen, who is an assistant professor at Aarhus University in Denmark. So welcome, Susanna. Will you tell everybody a little bit about you and how you got where you are?
Thank you, and thank you for having me here today. It's a pleasure. So currently I'm at Aarhus University here in Denmark. I've been here since January last year, so a year and a half, more or less. And how I got here is a very long story, but if I tell it very fast, I'm from Finland. I did my master's and bachelor's degrees in animal science in Sweden at the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences. And my master's thesis was actually very much related to protein and nitrogen and nutrition, and that's, I was thinking I want to do a PhD related to this topic, and I was looking for people working within this area, and saw Alex Ristoff's name at Penn State University, and I reached out to him, and then he invited me to go and do my join his group and do my PhD there, and that's where I really started on this histidine business and working with histidine for dairy cows, and how is it? It's an important amino acid in dairy cattle.
Okay, well, excellent. That leads in beautifully, because there's been a lot of talk and, you know, over at meetings and people starting to talk more and more about histidine. And it was one of those amino acids that was quite often always kind of the expression that we use a lot is that it was kind of the redheaded stepchild of nutrition and amino acids. So why is there such an interest now in histidine in dairy cow nutrition?
That's a very good question. Yeah, there has been a lot of focus on methionine and lysine for a very long time. So histidine has become important amino acid in the recent years, because we have started thinking more and more about reducing the total protein content of the diet. So going a little bit down in terms of crude protein content, both because of the cost of protein feeds and the expensive nature of protein concentrates, but then also related to environmental concerns, so nitrogen excretions. And then histidine is an amino acid that is not really very low or very high in most of the feeds that we feed normally to cattle, but it is very low in, or quite low in, microbial protein that we get from the rumen in relation to the concentration or profile in milk protein. So when we are reducing the protein content of the diet, then by nature, then we get more of the, proportionally more of the amino acids are coming from the microbial protein. And then microbial protein is low in histidine, and then there will be less histidine available for the milk protein synthesis. And that's kind of where this work started, especially the work at Penn State before I joined. That's how kind of Dr. Ristov and his PhD students at the time, they discovered histidine concentrations in blood were very low when they started feeding these low protein diets. And that's a lot of the work actually re-emerged at the Penn State in the 2010s, 2012 or so, that they got the first papers published.
At Vitagro, we are the gut health experts, developing advanced microencapsulation technologies that deliver nutrients exactly where they are needed. Our rumen-protected solutions allow amino acids, vitamins, and organic acids to bypass degradation and reach the intestine intact. The result is higher nutrient efficiency, improved metabolic health, greater peak milk, and stronger reproductive performance. Stop guessing. Start targeting nutrition with precision. Vitagro, gut health delivered where it matters. Learn more at vetagro.com.
Okay. And yeah, that's interesting that it's in a different proportion in the microbes than what the animal needs, because normally we think of that rumen population as improving that profile, making it closer to what that animal tissue needs. And even though you're limiting in like methionine and lysine. So, you know, really you're starting to try to look at histidine as an either as a limiting or almost a limiting amino acid, right?
Yeah, and it's especially in this context of low protein diets. And I think in when we think about methionine and lysine, that's usually thought of as limiting, especially in the North American diets where we have corn-based diets with combined with soybean. So we have soybean low in methionine, and corn usually is lower in lysine. So that combination, and that's the reason there has been so much focus on those two. And then especially in high producing cows that we have nowadays, it was kind of the push for feeding the cows more protein, you know, decades ago. And that's where then methionine and lysine, when we are feeding a lot of soybean and pushing the intake of the cows, then more of the amino acids that the cow absorbs, more of the protein comes from the diet instead of the microbial protein. But now that we are going the other way around, so reducing the protein content of the diet, and then proportionally the microbial protein becomes more important. And then we want to, then the histidine kind of pops out as one of these amino acids that are important to think about in terms of milk synthesis. Yeah.
Ah, very interesting. So what are the general effects of if we bumped histidine up in the ration? What do we normally see in a dairy cow?
Yes, so we compiled all of the studies that have been done on histidine in a meta-analysis that was published a couple of years ago. And we saw in that meta-analysis that histidine supplementation increases trimeter intake, and it also increases milk protein and just milk yield, and also ECM, energy-corrected milk yield. And then we actually see a reduction in milk fat concentration, but then the yield usually remains the same. So quite a clear effect on protein yield and milk yield. And also, interestingly, on this trimeter intake, which is not so, there hasn't been such a clear effect with other amino acids, meaning methionine and lysine.
Yeah, so that's interesting. That makes histidine very different. So what feedstuffs are actually richer in histidine? Are there any that we could, you know, add into a ration that'll help bring this in?
So blood meal is one of those that really has a high content of histidine, and that's something that people have used also in experimental settings when balancing for histidine. But of course, when we feed blood meal, it also comes with other amino acids. So then we get, again, this what's the optimal profile of amino acids and the total content of amino acids. But there are places like Europe where you are not allowed to feed blood meal to livestock, and that limits also the use of or formulating diet specifically for low protein, but then having an adequate histidine supply. So that's a bit of a challenge when we think about it from that aspect. Yeah.
Okay. And is histidine degraded easily in the rumen? So if we've found a source of like pure histidine and put it in the rumen, it's going to disappear like any other amino acid, right?
Yes. Yeah. It behaves quite similarly to other amino acids in the rumen in terms of the uptake by the microbes.
Adisseo, a global leader in nutritional solutions and the provider of SmartAmine M. Visit NotePay.com to calculate your return on investment when you balance your feed with amino acids and to learn how SmartAmine M is the product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production, component levels, and the lifetime performance of their herds.
So what's the bottom line to a producer and nutritionist? Because ultimately we want to feed these cattle better. So is histidine something that we need to really start thinking about on a farm, or are we not quite there yet?
So I think histidine is a little bit complicated in terms of what we have seen in research settings, especially when we have shorter term experiments. We don't always see the effect of histidine there. And it is because of the unique nature of this endogenous histidine that we can be released from the muscle tissue. And also actually in the blood hemoglobin, there is some histidine bound to the hemoglobin. And there is some evidence that in these histidine deficient conditions that the body is releasing the histidine from these reserves, and that can mask a little bit the deficiency actually, or it can supply histidine that the cow needs for milk protein synthesis, for example. So it could be that in short term, say early lactation or so, maybe the cow is, when they are mobilizing muscle tissue and such, that they are actually getting some of that histidine that they need to produce milk from their own body, within the own body. But then maybe, and that's something we haven't really looked into too much, like on a whole lactation scale, what happens to those histidine reserves, and if it's something we need to be thinking about, what's the role of that endogenous histidine, and if we need to be supplying the cows with more histidine toward the end of the lactation to replenish those reserves that were released. And then the other thing is that when we are, so at the same time, what I want to say in terms of feeding or thinking about histidine in on-farm settings, I think the important thing is when we are really going low in protein, in dietary protein, that there the histidine can becomes an important amino acid to consider and see how it looks in the ration, what levels you have in the diet and together with other amino acids, because that's another point, and maybe we can get into it a bit later also, more related to this, how I think we should continue thinking about amino acids is more as a whole, and not too much focus on, we have to think about individual amino acids, but not as singularly limiting. That's kind of, it's an old way of thinking, is this barrel model, you know, for limiting amino acids. And I think that's, we have seen at least in dairy cattle that it's not quite so simple.
Yeah, it's like everything else in dairy cattle. It's, and you know, the way I look at it is it's the staves, you know, each of those staves in that barrel model determine another stave or two.
Yeah.
So that way they're all connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, really this is a case where if you're feeding a low protein diet, you could find a product that's relatively rich in histidine. And especially if it's like a rumen protected histidine, because that would be a critical step again, because if you just throw amino acids in the rumen, they're gone very quickly.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, their half-life's in the minutes range. But if we can do that, it sounds like this really has some potential to help improve that overall protein metabolism as well as milk production, energy corrected milk.
Yeah, but just to say, in terms of this practical application of histidine, that and you mentioned this rumen protected amino acids, that we actually don't have, there aren't any histidine on the market as such yet for the to feed to dairy cows. So that's why it's still a little bit in this. I think it's good to think about it and see how it looks in the diets, especially if the protein content, if the goal is to reduce the protein content. But at the moment, we are not quite there yet to fully apply it in practice.
Okay, so this is a case for some of our suppliers need to look and see what their histidine levels are. And then that'll be a really good opportunity for them to help improve the dairy industry.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. So that concludes another episode of the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast presented by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us today. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. So if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable to us in helping to decide who we talk to next and who can help you in the industry. So until next time, this is Todd Calloway from the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, signing off.